Hi, I'm Patricia Grabarek.
And I'm Katina Sawyer, and welcome to the Worker Being Podcast. Today, Patricia has an article for us. So do you want to give us a little taste of what we're about to hear about today?
Yeah, so the sneak peek is that when employees are finding their work meaningful, they tend to feel better. And the study that I'm going to talk about is, how can we make work more meaningful? So what are the two things that can drive that? And I'll talk about them in a little bit more in more detail, but I'll just say the names of the things that can help make work more meaningful, and it's autonomy. And it, I actually don't even know if I know how to say this word. Beneficence? Is that how you say it?
Beneficence? I think it's beneficence.
Beneficence? See, I failed.
I don't know. I'm also kind of saying it like the name Maleficent.
Yeah, I know. I realize now that maybe I should have like, you know, looked it up before we started recording. But yeah, well, I'll explain what it is. And probably everyone's going to write in and tell us that we said it wrong. But it is what it is.
I feel like I have always read it as beneficence. But I don't know if it is or not. So we'll just say it a whole bunch of different ways.
And hope we get it right.
Yes, one of them will have to be right.
Hopefully. So yes. Yeah, that's what it's about. So basically, how to make work more meaningful. But before we talk about that, what's going on with you, my dear?
I believe that we had talked about on the podcast that we were going away for our 5-year wedding anniversary this weekend. And as I have told you, but I didn't tell everybody else, things had a little bit of a meltdown because our room had an inexplicable buzzing in it. And so it couldn't be fixed and they couldn't move us. And so we just left because we wouldn't have been able to sleep in our room without going insane. I felt like... isn't there that Edgar Allan Poe book, like The Telltale Heart or whatever, where like
it keeps
making that noise and like slowly everyone just goes insane? It kind of felt like that. I think we were slowly going nuts. It was just like, you know, when there's a noise that like won't stop and it's just like consistent, I do think it can like make you go slowly insane. So I feel like we just decided like we can't really be in this room. And if we can't be in the room at all, then like, you know, that's kind of a problem. So so we decided to leave after one night. We never ate our fancy dinner there. We evacuated the hotel. We ended up getting a reservation at a place in D.C. called Metier, which is attached to another restaurant called Kinship, and they're both we've never eaten at Kinship, but it's supposed to be really good, and we had never eaten at Metier before either. But I like snagged this random reservation because as we were leaving, like, we were upset because we had really wanted to have dinner there, but like it just didn't make sense. And so we were like trying to find another cool restaurant to go to make ourselves feel better about the fact that we had left. And so we found this reservation at Metier. It must have been like a last minute cancellation or something, because it was like the only reservation, and I grabbed it. And then once I like went and checked again, it was like, there's no reservations for tonight.
Well, that worked out.
Yeah. But it was super nice. It was like a tasting menu, and it had like a study. Like the first course that you eat is in like this like study with like a fireplace that's really pretty. And then they bring you into your table, and then they have like different courses that you try. And then you go back to the study for like your dessert, and they give you like a little after dinner drink, which like, whoa, that was a rough. I'm not used to things like that. I like really only drink wine, and I was just like, it was very strong. But
after dinner,
yeah, it was like a very strong, like, I feel like it was like a cognac, maybe
probably something like that. Yeah
So I was like, whoa. And then but it was really nice. And then they gave us a really, really, really nice candle for our anniversary that was hand poured by the chef.
What?
In like a ceramic thing in like a really nice gift box that had a note about our anniversary on it, like, we hope that you like light this candle and like take a moment to reflect on your relationship and like good times you've had. I was like, that's so cute. And then they give you a book at the end that has like your menu in it and like stories about how they derived each course and then like the wine pairings. And then the chef and his wife write like a little handwritten note in there, and they were like, happy fifth anniversary, like we're so happy that you came. And I was like, wow, this is like actually lovely.
That's so nice. They saved the day. They saved the day.
I know. So I'm very thankful to Metier and Chef Eric Zeebold or Zeibold. We can't pronounce anything today. I don't know how to say his last name. But it was very good. We had a really nice time. And then we were super full and we came home and we were just like, oh, and like watched TV for an hour and then went to bed.
Well, that sounds lovely. Yes. I am glad the dinner worked out. That sounds like really cute. What a like nice personalized little experience.
Yeah, I know. I feel like they were like so like all the little details were really, really nice. So it ended up being a good time, even though the beeping room was not what we expected. We did have a nice time in the end. So that was exciting. I was happy about that. And then, yeah, that's basically what we did. What about you? What was your weekend like?
My weekend was good. We went to down to San Diego area to visit my uncle. Nice. So we actually brought the Adventure Cats with us. So we went down there. My parents joined as well. And we just hung out at my uncle's house, and it was fun. So this is my vet uncle, for those of you keeping track. So we, you know, we're like, well, we'll bring the kittens. He has no pets, surprisingly. And so we just thought we would kind of get them used to the idea of traveling places and doing things differently. And they got adjusted really fast to that house, and we're jumping all over the place. So that was funny.
That's
and then my
cute.
Yeah, it was cute. And then my uncle's like a really, really good cook and like makes everything from scratch, like butter and everything, like everything you could think of, he makes from scratch. So it's always fun because I'm like, well, what are we going to have today? Like, what is he going to make? And so we had a good dinner. I would say the highlight was a pumpkin butternut squash soup that he made. That was fantastic.
Ooh, I love that.
I know. Mm-hmm. It was so good. So, yeah, it was a good time just hanging out with family. And that's really all we did.
Exciting. Well, that's really fun.
Yeah,
it
was nice.
That sounds like a lovely little weekend.
It was nice for sure. And now, now we're here. The week's starting and plenty to do and catch up on.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it is. I mean, I know that like every year I always feel like things go quickly, but we were gone this past weekend and then we're here next weekend. Well, actually we have to go to Philly for the night to get our dog because he's been with my parents this whole time. We have to go to get the dog. Then the following weekend we're here. And then after that we're gone. Like after that, it's like Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cousin's getting married. We're gone for that. And then there's like one more weekend and then we're gone to St. Martin's and then it's Christmas.
I know. It's
like, what the heck is going
bizarre.
On?
Bizarre. Yeah. It's bizarre how fast the past few months have gone. And then now it's like all of a sudden. Yeah. All of a sudden, basically it's Thanksgiving. And here come the holidays. How is that possible?
I know. I was like. yesterday we had trick-or-treaters. It's the first time we ever had trick-or-treaters.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, except for that, I'm like the only, well, not the only, but like between Brendan and I, I'm much more social. And so I decided everybody in our neighborhood sits outside on lawn chairs and they put like their candy out on like a table. So like for COVID purposes, you know, you don't have to get too close to anybody. And so everybody was like sitting out there with their candy and like Brendan wouldn't sit out there with me. So I just sat by myself. but I like got to meet like our neighbors and stuff that we haven't met at all because of COVID. And there was all these like cute kids that came by and like took candy and they all had cute little costumes. And so that was kind of nice.
That's really nice. That's fun.
Yeah,
we had no trick-or-treaters. I think there were. Looked like there were some walking around the complex, but our unit is like all the way in the back. And I think it's just kind of an awkward one to find. Like, we're all the way in the very back corner of the building, which is great for us because we have more privacy and it's like way more quiet here.
Right.
But that means that nobody really tracked our direction for for candy. So now, unfortunately, we have too much candy sitting in our house.
Yeah, we like definitely never were in a house that anyone ever came to. And then last year they didn't do Halloween. So while we were here, we haven't had it. And I was like, look at all these kids walking. And like, this is like such a, like a real Halloween. And like, we got a lot of trick-or-treaters walk by. I will say, though, I was a little disappointed because I left the bowl of candy out and someone took the bowl.
What?
And I was like, why do they want the bowl? Like, what kid wants this metal bowl?
That is bizarre.
I like figured someone was going to take all the candy, which was fine. Like, I was like, I hope someone takes all this. And so I was like thinking we would go out before we went to bed and just like collect the bowl. But like, it was all gone.
That is weird. That is really weird. Like, who takes the bowl?
Why do you want it? Like, I don't understand. I was like, okay. Brendan was like, I just got that bowl. I was like, I'm sorry. It's gone.
No more bowl.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
The bowl is no longer with us. But yeah, so that was the only thing. I was like, dang, kids took my bowl.
Stupid thieves.
Yeah, seriously. But in any event, it was nice to sit outside and see all the cute little costumes go by. All the little kids were so cute. So that was nice. That was the only other exciting thing. But now I have to like take down my Halloween decorations, and I like put a note in my book to put up Christmas decorations before we leave for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Wow. I know. That is so crazy. Well, we're here. It's holiday season.
Yes, very true. Very true. That's where we're at. And speaking of the holiday season, often people find that it helps them return to things that they find meaningful. Like friends and family. Perhaps we could talk about what makes work meaningful.
If I didn't laugh, that would have been the most slick transition I think we've ever done on this show. But I couldn't help because I knew where you were going. And I was like, oh, here we go. Here's the transition.
That was it.
That was it. It's a good one, though. I think it's a really good one. But yes, let's talk about meaningful work. So
awesome.
This article was it's brand new. It's published in the Journal of Vocational Behavior, written by Martella Gomez, another name I can't pronounce, sorry, Unanu, Araya, Bravo, and Espejo. Mm-hmm. And the article is called What Makes Work Meaningful? Longitudinal Evidence for the Importance of Autonomy and Beneficence for Meaningful Work. Hopefully I said that correctly.
Yes.
But yes, yeah, so it's a brand new article that really looked at what causes us to feel like work is meaningful. Like, what are the things that put us into that experience, right? And we know that meaningful work is important. So meaningful work is basically like when you subjectively feel an experience that your work is somehow either existentially significant, or you find it valuable to either your own purposes or to like the world at large, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really about finding something that you think is meaningful. So it's gonna be different for everybody. It's not the same for each individual person, but having meaningful work, and that leads to a lot of positive things. So we've talked about meaning in the workplace before, and basically we know that meaningful work can help people feel good about their jobs, or happy in their jobs, or more engaged, or more committed. People are less likely to leave jobs that they find meaningful. They tend to be better performers in those jobs. So just overall, we find there's like meta-analysis that talks about how it impacts general health. Like, overall, the whole picture is that meaningful work can really drive people to feel better and to also be better at their jobs.
Awesome. So we should, as people that care about wellness, we should care about meaning because it improves people's well-being, but companies should care about meaning because it also helps improve people's ability to perform.
Exactly. Yes. Cool. So it's like a win-win for everybody. So nice. Having meaningful work is important.
Awesome.
So, yes. So this paper, what it looked at is what are the things that can cause you to have meaningful work? And they really relied a lot on self-determination theory, which we've talked about before, I believe. But basically, that theory just says that humans have some innate psychological needs. So things that we need to feel good in our environment, right? And the three things in that theory are autonomy. So the ability to control your work. Competence, which is basically feeling like you're actually able to do the work and you're good at your job. And then relatedness, so feeling a connection to other people at work.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So these are the three things that basically make up whether or not you experience meaning on the job, are sort of these three components.
So they're saying that these three components are things that we need psychologically to, you know, have our needs met and feel good. And so they were theorizing that these should impact whether or not people find their work meaningful.
Gotcha.
Spoiler alert, okay. Not all of them work.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's good to know.
Yep, exactly. So those are the three things in that theory. But then they also decided that they wanted to look at one more because there's been some recent research that says basically alongside the need for autonomy, competence, and relatedness, there's this additional need for beneficence, which basically has been found to impact wellness as well. And so beneficence, the word we cannot say, is basically it's the feeling that you are contributing positively to other people. It's that you're making some sort of pro-social impact. So it's like, you know, for example, you might feel this when you go and work at a soup kitchen over Thanksgiving, right? So you feel like this positive feeling that you've made some sort of impact, that you're contributing in some way. So there's some research to show that people have a need for that as well.
Okay. So it's kind of like, it sounds like it's sort of like a feeling that you're doing good in the world or a feeling that you're doing good. I don't know if it's like the same as like altruism or helping, but like a feeling of like the impact that you're having is positive.
Yeah, exactly. Like you are doing something to be helpful, to help others. You're doing good and you feel good about it.
Okay, awesome. That sounds good. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. So they basically decided, okay, let's look at these four things. Let's look at autonomy. Let's look at competence. Let's look at relatedness and beneficence and see which of these things drive whether or not you find your work meaningful. Mm-hmm. And they collected data on three different occasions with 3 months in between. So it'd basically be like, you know, month one, they collected some data, then they had 3 months pass. So then in month four, they collected the next set of data, 3 more months, et cetera. I did it 3 times and they actually used a sample of Chilean workers. So it would be interesting for me as a reader of this research to see how this plays out broadly. I mean, we often talk about a lot of US-centric samples, which we need to know whether that plays out the same way across the globe and the same thing here, right? But there's some reason to think it might stand elsewhere. And basically, they had employees answer questions on those 4 things plus meaningful work. So they're measuring them in each time period. And that would let them kind of, especially in time one, they could control for, you know, how meaningful they found their work from the beginning and then see how, like, over time, if you feel autonomy in time one, do you think your work is more meaningful in time two, et cetera.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So they were really trying to kind of understand, like, which actually predicts the other thing versus whether or not there's a relationship. So that's why there's these big gaps of time between when they ask these survey questions.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'll just kind of give you a sense of what the questions were. So for meaningful work, for example, a question that you would a person would agree to would be, you know, my work has a clear sense of purpose. For autonomy, they would answer questions about autonomy, obviously, and it's something like, I feel that my decisions at work express who I really am. So it's focusing on you now have some control over. It's interesting because this question that they gave here is not just control over your work, but just ability to be yourself too in the workplace.
Yeah, it's kind of like authenticity a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Then for competence, it said one of the questions they gave was, I trust that I can do things well in my work. For relatedness, I feel that the people I care about at work also care about me. And then beneficence, they had two questions they listed, so I can read them both. At work, I feel that my actions have a positive impact on the people around me. And the things I do in my work contribute to the betterment of society. So you can see there's kind of two pieces there, like people more proximally and people broadly within the society.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I think that those all make sense. I would say, as you mentioned, the autonomy question is a little bit funky because it's not, it's like a little bit of a mix of like two things, but it's possible that it's just that one item and the other ones are more like tied to the broader idea of, you know, having control like over your schedule or over your time, like how we generally think of autonomy.
Yeah, it seems like it. It seems like there's multiple questions and there's probably some that are a little bit more aligned with what we would have expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, that all sounds good.
Yeah. So they tested this in a couple different ways. So I'm not going to go into the statistics around it, but basically I'm going to give you kind of like a snapshot of what predicts what just generally, and then from like a bigger picture model perspective, what worked.
Cool.
So when you're looking at, like, they tested to see like, okay, if I am looking at autonomy, does autonomy predict meaningful work? Or does meaningful work predict autonomy, right? So they wanted to check the directionality of all of these effects to make sure that we know what is actually driving people to feel like their work is meaningful versus having meaningful work is driving you feeling like you have autonomy in your job, right?
Right.
So what they found was of the four things, autonomy and beneficence predicted meaningful work. So they both predicted somebody feeling later on that their work was meaningful, but it wasn't true for competence and relatedness. So for competence and relatedness, it actually was that meaningful work predicted whether or not somebody felt competent later on and whether or not they felt that sense of connection or relatedness later on. So kind of like the reverse relationship was happening there.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So it's like, if I feel like my work is meaningful, then I feel like I'm better at what I'm doing. So I probably feel some sort of like sense of accomplishment. And so that might drive my feelings of competence. And then if I feel like my work is meaningful, I'm probably likely to feel like I'm connected to others in why we're there, connected to a broader purpose, or maybe even connected more to like customers or people that are like end users of whatever service or good you're providing. So I could see why those feelings of meaning would actually cause people to feel like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm good at this and I'm connected to other people.
Yeah, exactly. It makes a lot of sense when you like talk through it. But it was definitely surprising for them because they thought it would be the other way around.
Yeah.
Then when it comes to autonomy, like, autonomy actually predicts whether or not somebody finds their work meaningful. So that one's interesting. It's basically, I feel like I have control over my decisions and how I do my work. And now I feel like my work is meaningful, which kind of makes some sense, right? It's like, I have control over what I'm doing. Therefore, the way I'm doing it matters to me. I'm doing it in a way that I want to do it. And so therefore, therefore I feel like my work has some purpose. That can make sense to me.
Yeah, like I have the ability to sort of craft the job the way that I want it to be. And so I can get it closer to what I find meaningful than if I didn't have that control.
Exactly. And then with beneficence, it's really like, it makes, this one makes the most sense, right? Like, I feel like I am making an impact in the world and so, or to people around me, right? I'm saying that at work, I feel my actions have a positive impact on people.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, because of that, I feel like my job is meaningful. So that makes a lot of sense. It seems like a easy straight line there.
Yeah, that makes that. Yeah, that definitely is straightforward, that if I feel like, you know, I'm doing something good in the world, that's going to make me believe that what I'm doing is meaningful. So that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. So I thought it was, I personally thought that was interesting. That's kind of like the simple stuff I wanted to pull out. One thing that they did is when they looked at like a much more complicated model, they did find that no matter what, even when you control for autonomy, competence, relatedness, anything else, beneficence was a meaningful driver of meaningful work.
Yeah.
And the same for autonomy. So both of those things, regardless of how competent somebody felt or any of the other factors, they still had a significant impact on meaningful work. So basically the second model just drove home that point that beneficence and autonomy really, really do impact whether or not people feel like their work is meaningful.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because I think a lot of times companies are trying so hard to get people to feel connected to their work. And like, I hear leaders saying that all the time, and I'm sure you do too. Like, why don't all employees care about this the way that we do? Or why doesn't everybody feel connected to this work? Or, you know, I really wish that every person in the company would feel a part of it or
have a passion.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think like a lot of companies are trying to get that to happen. And I think that probably reminding people about the positive impact that they're having and, you know, letting people know how important the work is that they're doing or connecting people with customers that had a great experience or talking through the good that they're doing in the world. Like, those are things I think companies might think to do in order to increase that. Although I can't say that I think that they do a great job at it or don't need a reminder about that. But I think the autonomy piece is kind of interesting because I don't think that companies would necessarily make the connection that providing employees with more autonomy would help them solve that problem. So I think that's like one that probably is particularly interesting for companies because I don't think that it's as intuitive and people probably wouldn't use it as a go-to solution for solving that specific issue.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting takeaway, which they talked about exactly that in this article, right? They said there's two things that leaders can do to try to drive employees to feel like their work is meaningful. And one is to do what you had just described. So increase employees' sense of beneficence, basically helping them see the impact, making it super concrete, having, I don't know, customers or clients or whoever, patients, whatever it is, come in and tell stories about how what's been done has been impactful for them, you know, have them directly interact with people that are recipients of their work. Things like that can really help people feel like, oh, wow, what I'm doing does matter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But autonomy can be a little bit easier. So having really good autonomy supportive management practices. So letting your employees make decisions where they're able to, giving them the chance to make flexible schedules, giving them the opportunity to do the work the way they want to, and letting them drive their own work experience in terms of how they complete their tasks can make a big difference. So I think that's a really interesting takeaway that's, you know, I want to make my employees more passionate, more find more meaning in their work. Whatever the reason leaders are really wanting to drive that. I mean, one, engagement, right? That's a big one. But for whatever purpose, a lot of companies want people to feel connected to the mission, the purpose, the goal of the company. Well, easy way, let them actually just do their jobs and figure it out themselves. Treat them like adults.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that's interesting because that's not necessarily, I think, a way that people would think about that. So, like, I often think that, especially if people feel like, I don't know what to do to make people, like, care about this or whatever, and there's a sense that, like, they have less control over the narrative, that what people often try to do is, like, put more control mechanisms in place. Like, I want to be in front of people more, and I want to be, like, on top of people more and, you know, like in their ear more. And I think it's an interesting takeaway to say, like, if you want people to feel the same passion that you have, maybe part of the reason that you have a passion for it is because you do have the ability to, like, craft this meaning for yourself, and other people don't have as much of that opportunity. And if you give them more of an opportunity to, like, think and act like an owner, like leaders are more so, that could be one way to actually, like, cultivate that instead of feeling like you have to, like, clamp down and take more control over it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, long story short, I could repeat it again, but I think that the biggest takeaways here are just, how can you drive people to feel more autonomous in their work and also feel more beneficence? And beneficence, like we said, is maybe a little bit harder or a little bit more obvious. Autonomy is another one that can be a big takeaway. And I totally agree that it's such an interesting thing. And I love that you, like, immediately latched onto that, because I felt the same way when I read this article. I was like, wow, that's a very unique way, and a not necessarily counterintuitive, but not intuitive way to make an impact on how meaningful work is. And since meaningful work is so important, we should really think about how to do that. How can we drive that autonomy?
Very true. I think that that is super important if you're trying to gain more, you know, loyalty, passion, etc. for a company. You might need to let go and let employees have more ownership, which is an interesting takeaway, not something I think people would generally think about, and also remind them about the good that they're doing as well. So I think that's awesome. I appreciate you bringing this up, because I think it's a great reminder for people. And if you're struggling with these issues, I think it's important to think about the fact that the solutions could be a little easier than what you might think.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you're not a leader, I think another piece is, this is just kind of your friendly reminder that finding meaningful work is important. So even if the job you're in right now doesn't feel the best all the time, like, try to make a connection for yourself to what the purpose is and where you're making an impact. And if you feel like you're not making any impact and you're able to look for other work, then go do that, because we know that meaningful work is going to really help you.
Yeah. Totally. I think these are great tips. I'm glad that you brought this up. Sometimes it just goes back to the basics to answer these big questions. And a good reminder that, like, having jobs that actually just incorporate elements that are appealing to employees from a motivational perspective and a human need perspective also have these really good impacts on people's ability to find meaning in their work.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you found it useful. As always, thanks everyone for listening as well. Hopefully you found it useful too. We'd love to hear your thoughts or how you've implemented these types of things before. You can send us an email at contact@workerbeing.com. You can find us on our website, workerbeing.com. You can also find us on social media at WorkerBeing on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And finally, if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, go ahead and check it out. It's also at WorkerBeing. Thanks for listening.
The Worker Being podcast is hosted by us, Patricia Grabarek
and Katina Sawyer, and produced by Allie Johnson.